Lord, please fill me every day as you're teaching me your way. What you say in your time.
Amen. He makes all things beautiful in His time. That's what the whole Bible is all about. All our confusion, He understood. He could take it and make something beautiful out of our lives. Amen. Shall we pray? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. You have a special request this evening. Hold it in your heart and believe God. He that cometh unto God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder who diligently seek Him. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts in your presence. Sing this little song in your time. You make all things beautiful. Lord, we were so deformed out in the world. Lord, we partook of all that the devil had to offer. In our own eyes, we thought we looked beautiful until we came and looked into the perfect law of liberty, until we looked into the mirror of your word, Father, and realized, Lord, we were lost, hell-bound creature without God, Lord, not knowing right from wrong, our souls trapped in this world. But Lord, through your amazing grace, you took us out of the miry clay and you set our feet on a rock to stay. Lord, by your transforming power, you have changed us and made us a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old things pass away, now all things are becoming new. How we appreciate that, Father. To know when there is hate and malice and jealousy and envy and wickedness inside of us, Lord, all kind of lustful devils. Lord, now you put your life and your spirit inside of us. You reveal yourself unto us to make us more like you. We have one goal and one objective now on earth, that is to be like Jesus. And the songwriter said, on earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, I only ask tonight to be like him. Father, may you speak to our hearts. We come, Lord, expecting that you would meet our every need tonight. And Lord, by your word, you would just speak to us. And Lord, just drop down into our hearts that which we have need of. We don't have to speak it out openly. You know our needs even before we ask. That is our confession. We acknowledge that in your presence tonight, Father. We just come believing, looking unto you, and yielding ourselves unto your Holy Spirit. The Lord, in this service, you would just show yourself alive in such a way. Your presence would come and confirm your word in such a way, Lord, that we could be strengthened, that we could be lifted up. And Father, I pray tonight, knowing, Lord, the need among the young people, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord. Just fill every heart tonight to overflowing. Granted, Father, won't you do that for us tonight? Lord, we commit ourselves and the service in their hands, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak to us now out of your word. May you bless the preaching of your word and bless the hearing of your word. And may you grant understanding to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I invite your attention to the book of Genesis. We'd like to read out of Genesis chapter 33. It's a little while I haven't been in the young people service to preach. I've been there last week and I think I missed a couple of weeks when I was away, but I'm glad to be here to speak. I've been kind of concentrating along a different line. I didn't have to travel again, but I just felt, you know, God is putting something in my heart to the young people to preach to them, and it's kind of a little burdensome on me, you know, to have to kind of take all the different services. But you know, you're just kind of watching, observing, and in and out, and try to get before the Lord in prayer and see what the Holy Spirit put upon my heart. And it's a very serious hour that we're living in. There's a lot of things that we are faced with. I'm trying to hold those things that God put upon my heart when we started His services, seeing the needs among the young people, and I've not tried to allow that to, you know, be taken away or become dim before my eyes, in spite of all what we have to do, because when those things begin to be met, and you really begin to see the difference in the lives, you know, you're going to know we're really hitting the mark. Our labors are not in vain, and we are striking the right channel by the grace of God. You're mixing the word with faith when you hear it. And, you know, the hunger in your heart is becoming more intense for a real experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, to see you can find your place in Jesus Christ and you can know God's will for you in this hour. Amen? So, you know, I've been in the back last service, and I was away, and then I came back, I think one service, and then I came and sit in the back there last week a little bit, and you know, I was kind of wanting, we had a little discussion, we discussed some of the things on Sunday evening after service in another meeting, and truly I'm kind of trying to find out, you know, what is in the minds of many of the people when they come in this particular service, you know, and they sit there, you know, that they sort of kind of reserve and begin to observe. Don't get too reserved and don't begin to just observe, but, you know, just kind of just get in and participate this evening. Amen. I am coming here and I'm depending upon your participation. I'm depending on your support. I want to preach to you with real enthusiasm and conviction. And I just want to know that when you sit there, you know, you're going to receive it. If the word comes hard, sometimes that's just my way of preaching. You know, I sometimes kind of speak a little stern, but, you know, I don't really mean it to be mean. I just might mean to be a little more instructive and a little more corrective and, you know, in a way that could help and encourage our hearts and keep us, you know, that, you know, the serious hour. But at the same time, by the grace of God, I'm just believing that, you know, as your word come forth, you know, you say amen, amen. And you just get right in the service by the grace of God. It's a tremendous time, and, you know, we just want to receive so much when we come in God's presence, make full opportunity of every moment we could gather together in God's presence. Let me see how much people come with a special need in their heart. Maybe God can just speak to them this evening. And my, it's all over the building. I believe you put up your hand sincerely. If you didn't feel it, you wouldn't do it. And I feel if you want something special from God, Lord, talk to me tonight. Give me some strength. Maybe I find that, you know, I find myself slipping back sometimes. And, you know, do I know the things that I should be doing? I'm not, you know, like that woman says one time, I know what I ought to be, but I know I'm not what I used to be, but then I'm not being what I want to be. And that's where my battle is. And if we could get some strength and take some land inside of there and see that I'm becoming what I want to be, what God showed me I ought to be in this hour, then I know I would know I'm pleasing Him. Amen. I could approach Him with confidence and I could have have more joy in my Christian life. And always remember this now, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't try to draw strength from something else. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, I thought it was the word. Yes, well, that's what brings the stimulation. That's what brings the joy. Amen. When He reveals Himself to you and becomes so real to you. Amen. So, I just want to speak this little message to you tonight. And I want to call it Defiled Dinah. Defiled Dinah. And we're going to begin reading from verse 18, Genesis 33. And I know you all, most of you all, I believe, is believers of the assembly here. And that means you have been in services and you know what I'm preaching in this service. So this is just like a little byproduct message of what I'm preaching. Normally just kind of, you know, bring it down for the young people here a little bit of what's happening in the regular service. So it may kind of throw a little more light on some of the things that we are speaking in this present time. So Genesis 33, verse 18. Now, if you all would be acquainted with your Bible, you would know in Genesis 31, Jacob was down in Haran. You know, after he stole the blessing, I think Barbara was talking about that last week, stolen blessing and so on. And after he stole the blessing, he was down in Haran. God spoke to him. Before he went to Haran, before he actually arrived there, he had an experience at Bethel. Remember that? when he was laying there on that stone that night, and he had a dream, and he saw a ladder ascending to heaven, angels ascending and descending, and God spoke to him and made a promise to him. And we find that he spent many years down in Haran. He got married. He had two wives, Leah and Rachel, with some other wombs and so on Sunday. And then finally God spoke to him and said, I'm the God of Bethel. Time to go back to your country. Time to come back to where Bethel was, the house of God. No, Bethel means the house of God. And God spoke to him and said, I am the God of Bethel. And we find that what happened, he began a journey and he came out with his wife and his children and all his substance. But then he had a confrontation. He's going to meet Esau. And he knew that Esau was coming with vengeance. And he knew he wasn't able, he wasn't in the condition to face that challenge. He became desperate. You know the story. At daybreak, an angel dropped down from heaven. He wrestled. He prevailed. We find out that after Esau went his way, then Jacob was here. And verse 18, Genesis 33 says, and Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. I want you to observe that, where he pitched his tent, before the city, right in the border of the city, right in the edge of the city. And he bought a parcel of a field, where he had spread his tent, and the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she bore unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. She went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. The prince of the country. And his soul cleave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spoke kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spoke unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel for my wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field. And Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved. And they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in line with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor spoke with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her him as his wife, and make you marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. In other words, let's become integrated. But God is a God of segregation, not integration. Amen. God is unite like with like, not like with unlike. Amen. Hybrid, you see. And make you marriage with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade you therein, and get you possessions in it. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes. And what you shall say unto me, I will give. Ask me ever some dowry and gift, and I will give according as you shall say unto me. But give me the damsel as my wife. Some people feel the money could buy anything. Some people don't look at principle, don't look at God's word. They don't look at and see that, you know, our moral principles and spiritual values. He's the prince, they have money, and he's pushing out his money before him, thinking that maybe they, like little farmers and peasants, when they kind of cling after the money, or kind of be glad to be associated with so-called celebrities of the world. All right. Verse 13. Verse 12, rather. Ask me ever some dowry and give, and I will give according to you, as you shall say unto me, but give me the damsel as my wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, because he defiled Dinah, their sister, and they said unto them, we cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised. for that were reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you. If you will be as we be, let every male of you be circumcised. Then will we give our daughters unto you. In other words, you come and get the Holy Ghost. Come and get circumcised. You come and join the church too. And then you can get married. Or then you can do this. You know, kind of go in the world and get your partner and bring them inside and make them a Christian. And you're going to get things going nice. All right? Then we'll give our daughters unto you and we'll take your daughters to us and we'll dwell with you and we shall become one people. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and we will be gone. And their words please Hemo and Shechem, Hamor's son. Now they were coming to really no conviction of the God of Israel and serve God and doubt all the paganism. They were trying to make a compromise to get what they want. And the young man deferred not to do the thing because he had defiled. Verse 18. And the words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. See what he was doing? And he was more honorable than all the house of his father. He was the chief son, maybe the best educated out of all Hamor's children. Firstborn, you know, and was kind of could stand there in public, you know, and make speeches and appear at all the cocktail parties. And you know the president's son and all of this be, all right? But this is the prince of the land. Okay. And Hamor and Shechem his son came unto the gate of their city. And they spoke with the men of their city, saying, like in the town hall, what you call the gate of the city, you know, where the mayor and them will kind of come down and, you know, have maybe the little function and so on. These men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein for the land. Behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives and let us give them our daughters. Isn't it strange how some children could have some great influence on the parents? This man gets his father, who is the president of the land, to put that across to the people and say, all right, it's good people. We're going to have them in the land. We're going to kind of take them in. They're going to become citizens. And they only ask children a simple thing. We can become integrated. We go, kind of go to some institutions. We'll be kind of ecumenical about it. Only herein will the men, verse 22, consent unto us for to dwell with us to be one people. If every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised, shall not their cattle and their substance or every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them and they will dwell with us. See? But they had a lot of cattle. You see, they saw a chance. We got a chance to kind of control the economy. You know, and you know, use the cattle and all the substance, you know, for our own benefit and so on. And can make some money off of them, give them grazing lands and pastures, and you know, and some of our people get employment, you know, all these things, help out the economic crisis in the land. So they saw a lot of good avenues, you know. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son, hearkened all that went out at the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. So imagine how maybe this man said, we got a lot of converts now, you know. And it went, and it came to pass on the third day, when they saw that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city, because they had defiled their sister. Revenge, you see. And they took their sheep and their oxen, their asses, and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives, took the cattle and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and their Perizzites. And I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should we deal with our sisters with a harlot? Let me just get that one verse in verse 1 in chapter 25. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar unto God who appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. See? That's where you should have gone in the first place. Bethel. But he didn't go to Bethel, he went to Shechem. May the Lord have blessed you with him. Have a seat. Okay. Jacob had heard that his daughter Dinah was defiled. I want to take that for the title, Defiled Dinah. Holy Fire. And I want to take for the subject, the danger of living on the edge of the world. They pitched the tent right close to the city, just like Lot did. Living close to the world, right on the borderline. Like a lot of people today want to know just how much they could do and what they mustn't do. As close to the world as they could be, they want to be there. How long a dress should be? Exactly what is a strong drink or not alcoholic drink? Or why we can't go to the cinema and see maybe certain shows? Or what is on the television? You know, they want to know how close to the world they can live. They pitch their tent towards the city. God had not said go to Shechem. But God had told Jacob, I am the God of Bethel. So Bethel, rather than Shechem, was his appointed goal. That is the place he should have gone to. Because God was restoring him back to the land of his fathers. Now where is God taking us today? As believers. What is our objective? Where is the word trying to bring us to? Bring us back to the place of promise. Where Jacob had a vision. Where he saw the angels descending and ascending. Where it's a great ladder that stretched from earth to heaven, where God is at the top. Amen. Now, every individual believer this evening must have that kind of vision. Amen. And God, I believe, in this hour, is giving every individual believer a real vision. Amen. The vision where a man could ascend right up into the presence of God. Amen. A man born on the earth, there's a ladder he could climb, and he and God can become one. Hallelujah. There's a minister and spirits. Amen. Come down. Notice Jesus told Nathaniel. He says, when he had believed him, after he says, your name is Nathaniel. And he discerned his heart. That was the second pull. Discernment. Reveal his name. Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And he said, Master, thou art the King of Israel. He said, because you have seen these things, you believe these things greater than this, you will see. You will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What a vision. To see greater things. Because you can believe the second pole. God can bring you to the third pole. God can bring you to a revelation of the Son of Man. God can bring you to a revelation to bring you to the perfection of God. To bring you who is the earthly and take the image of the earthly to bear the image of the heavenly. That you can ascend into the hill of the Lord. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Him with a pure heart and him with a clean hand. Amen. Amen. And that's why you see many people today, they have strayed from that vision. It has been spoken to them. God has revealed to God, I am the God of Bethel. He has called us to come back into the land of your fathers. But they've been coming. But along the way, they begin to, you know, maybe get new thoughts or find themselves in situations that it may seem a little difficult to carry out God's original will. So the desire, maybe God will change his mind or postpone what he has for them until they feel more ready and able to comply with what God asks. Amen. Amen. Don't get so quiet to me now. I ain't going to lecture to you. I'm going to preach to you. Amen. So notice something. So then, while that is happening, you know, they kind of want to go this way or go that way. But you see the thing with God now. If God calls you and he tells you something, regardless of what situation you may find yourself in, how difficult it may seem, God does not change his mind about his word. That's only the devil trying to throw something in your way to hinder you from carrying out God's word. So he was coming to his family. And he had all of them with him. And the Bible said Jacob came to Shechem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram and pitched his tent before the city. Here was Lot.
Lot was the one way back in Abraham's time, when Abraham was sojourning in a strange land, and he had Lot with him. And the Bible says Isaac and Jacob in Hebrews 11 was with Abraham. No, you know Abraham never see Jacob in the flesh. All right. So that means there was a journey with him in his loins. Them patriarchs was in the loins of Abraham while he was journeying by faith. Because in his seed that God is going to give him, God is going to continue that Abrahamic covenant. So notice something. So when the time came, Abraham, he wanted to buy a portion of land for a burying place. He didn't buy a portion of land to live. He bought for a burying place. He knew that God had promised him that land. He knows if you don't come into the full possession of it in his earthly life, then what was going to happen? He was going to have a portion of this where he could be buried, knowing the Messiah was going to come to them in that land. But Jacob now, he bought a piece to live. Not to be buried. Abraham had already had a burying place. And you know the scripture, something like this. You read the scripture and you kind of pray and wait for God to breathe upon the word for you. You don't read the Bible like a newspaper. God told him go to Bethel, but he had come at Shechem and he pitched his tent right before the city. Now, you know what happened when Lot, they thought that, you know, things are getting a little difficult and, you know, maybe he's been criticized and he has a little stupid ambitions. He always wanted maybe to drive a nice chariot. He always wanted maybe to wear the foreign robes that come from Persia or Rome or some of the caravans they bring coming through. And Abraham for a sheepskin. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. He had a pilgrim spirit. Yeah. Abraham had no continuous city. He was looking for one to come. Amen. But the Lot was the hawk and the telephone poles. And Abraham was the eagle hunting his well food, fresh food. Amen. And you tonight could either be a hawk on the telephone poles, or you could be an eagle. You could have an eagle spirit. A spirit that is soaring into the depths of God, into the heights of God. There is something in your heart that is not satisfied with just maybe the earthly, fleshly, temporal things. But there is something in your heart that longs for eternal realities. And you become obsessed, a great obsession to you. So notice something here. Lot, he wasn't there. All these things, you know, maybe the cattle being multiplied, there's an Abraham presence. He began to prosper a little bit, but he failed to realize the blessing was coming because he was connected to the prophet of God for that age. Yeah. Abraham is God's prophet. How many know that? Yeah. And Lot wasn't really called by God. God called Abraham out. Yeah. But Abraham brought Lot. Yeah. And you know, sometimes people just kind of feel that, you know, God is blessing them, but they don't know why they've been blessed. And when they begin to be blessed, they kind of begin to get self-secure. They kind of begin to get independent. And then you see the old attitudes that have come back out. Because now they feel, well, I need this one, I need that one, I need it. They might have need them for them to carry them on their back while they didn't have or while they was in some condition. But now they get a little independent, a little self-secure. You find that they don't treat people anyhow and talk anyhow. And then Lot, you know, maybe whenever I'm talking, he gets arrogant now. Will answer back. Because if he had a few servants too, he had a cattle multiplying, he had his own herdsmen. And you know, he kind of feel, well, you know, he's just as much a servant of God as maybe Abraham was, or whatever he had in mind. But the time came when instead of contention and strife. And Lot, the Bible says when he and Abraham came together, Abraham, a man of principle, and you have the right principle, God will always take you through. Abraham says, look, let's go fight. The world is watching us. We are the light of the world. We can't live anyhow. We can't try to grab for these things. And Abraham knew that God had promised the land to begin with. He knew he couldn't face all the plans and fight them and get it. He knew God was going to give it to him in his own time. He wasn't looking for land when God called him. He was living the early childhood, satisfied with that life. But God showed election in Abraham's life and called him out. You see, so when it came out, you know, and it come along, it might have looked, you know, if you're not, if without faith, you're going to grab what the eye can see. Yeah. And you're going to try to press on the person because that's as far as you can see. So Abraham now, maybe the scripture comes in his heart, be not deceived, God not mocked, whatever man shall I tell you how to read, prefer one another, bear one of the burdens, you know. And Abraham said, Lord, you take first choice, to the land be forth, you go east, I go west, you know, that goes south. That is a sign of faith. A lot of people see, you know, they see opportunity there, and I think you don't have no more opportunity. But some of that opportunity is only there for a test to reveal your spirit. Amen. And you don't realize you've been on the test because the spirit of lust and covetousness, you already don't want to bypass an opportunity. You want to get a hold of what you see, what your senses can contact. But the time you're under a test. You see? So right there, he looked at somebody, he saw the grass and the water and these things because maybe going to help his ego among his own men. You know, because sometimes some people, maybe he might make a little joke for Abraham, you know, among his own men. Maybe he might get there with his servants and so on. You know, he has his two daughters and he says, boy, I know, you know, some people say God with them and so long as we have prophecy that comes to pass. I mean, look, I have two girls here and, you know, he either has to kind of help out the situation and he might know about the confusion in Abraham's house the time with Hagar and the other one, you see? And all those things, sometimes people kind of feel get a little insecure with some of these things. So Lot now preaches that towards Sodom. This time age had already begun to move down in Sodom. Amen. See? Amen. Homosexuality was on the increase. But you see, that has been the little corner of the papers here. Yeah. And they have economic growth, yeah. New development, so and so on, and the big headlines. Yeah. And with the money spread upon him, he was in avenues, maybe to prosper now and get well organized and go down in there and become a big banker or something and climb the social ladder. And after he went down there, with the little part of the anointing that remained with him, but enough people get under the word and then they backslide. It looks like things go be going good quickly, eh? Before it backfires. Because with the little wisdom they have and the little kind of freshness coming in the message and looking kind of clean and nice, right away, everybody in the world is already marked, you see? And the people in the world, they have the eyes to see the mark in one another. So when a new face pops up in the world or something kind of fresh coming in the presence of God, quickly, you know, the world is so deceptive, everybody playing a big deceiving game, then they quicker lean the way of what looks innocent. Yeah. They can trust because, not that they can trust it, but they can manipulate that. Yeah. You see, some people are just, yeah, I'm going to use this person, or use this one here, but they can manipulate them. Yeah. So, Lot went down and things are going to go nice for him, and his daughters end up getting married to two homosexuals. Them was not followed maybe in nightclub and bar. Them was followed maybe in bank. Jacket and tie. Them were fellows who in the heart trouble the ladies. Like Rock Hudson, them fellows was. Who is the kind of feel they? They just want to be photographed with Rock Hudson. They just want to, you know, kind of pen pal and big picture up on by the dead. And, you know, he's the heart trouble the female. See? Now that's when you look with this kind of eyes. Because sin is designed to be appealing. Sin is designed to be fashionable. Sin is designed to, you know, be, enticing. The pleasure. And the way the devil traps them, he glorifies it. It looks innocent. It can make it look innocent. And maybe them boys, you know, could call the education there. When they invite them home and look on the business trend. Before you ask the father the Christian conviction, testify them, he said, no, let me hear my subject you have. The boy said, I guess I have some more levels and I'm taking my advantage here. And Lord said, I'm going to use him good in my business, good son-in-law. You can take over this new establishment to help me here. Then he interviewed the other next young boy. He said, the other boy, he said, you have a nice personality, kind of very quiet and, you know, a little shy and bashful. And Lot couldn't read what was causing the shy and bashfulness. Because by now the anointing left him. And he's a carnal man outside of God's presence. with a lot of stories to tell about the past. How he used to be among the prophet and to be around Abraham and so on, God called him out and he down there when Abraham fight the battle and slaughter the kings and all them different, you can tell a lot of things. But look what's happening here now. Because the Bible said he pitched his tent toward the city. It comes so low until he lived with his own daughters. His own daughters drunken him. The two husbands get burned up in the fire. The mother, he had no control of his own wife. The mother, she turned a pillar of salt. Now you can imagine a family around the world. In the presence of God. Think about it, you know. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man has been revealed. Remember Lot's wife. Did Jesus say that? Yes. Are we in the same type of age? Yes. I'll tell you, never kind of get complacent and get player. You're so secure and you have so much of God and you don't establish already and all be humble and right and trust God for every step. Yes. Trust God every day. Yes. It seems that history handed down. Might be some in the back part of Jacob's mind. But he wasn't thinking about it. Might be some of the story to tell. We just frightened the girls growing up, or the boys and them. They kind of keep them in check. You know, Christian parents are sometimes. God's going to punish you, you know. You don't behave yourself. They kind of threaten the children, you know, the children kind of fall back in life. I don't want to get punished by God, you know. And you see, God is a fiery God, or Mount Sinai or something, you know. God had talked to him. God had told him, he said, go. I'm the God of Bethel. That's the place you shall be heading to. But on his journey, on his pilgrimage, after hearing the voice of God, after God come down and help him overcome his greatest enemy, after a great time, now how much people get in the presence of God, under inspiration and meeting, and the Holy Ghost convict their heart and God move mightily in his presence and he touched them and they break down and they cry and they weep at the altar and they pledge their life to God, Lord, I'll be more sincere. I'm going to be, you know, they repent for, and they're so sorry for all I've done in the past. And God is on the plane now. Everybody know they had a great experience last meeting. And next few services, few days pass, they just ride back down to the same old low level. Look at Jacob, after a great thing, in new name and new walk, and what he thought he couldn't get himself out of, he come right there and pitch his tent toward the city. Come and pitch his tent and settle down out right near the world. Looks strange for a pilgrimage. Don't see Abraham do that, nowhere in Abraham's life. Who was called with a vision burning, that God's going to give him the inheritance. It makes us think, what was the attraction that took him there? Was he thinking about his children's safety? Didn't he know that the fashion to the world, the type of music the young people in, the type of cinema shows, the type of activity inside of there, the immorality? Because it was a city of the Hivites. Hivites! I'll share something with you here. I'll tell you some of these things today. It means wicked, bad, or wickedness. The Hivites. And he can pitch his tent right on the outside of the city of wickedness. From the story alone that we read, we see how wicked it is. I want you to listen carefully. Huh? Defile Dinah. She was defiled. She was polluted. It hurt the brothers and they draw the sword and they kill and they slaughter and they murder and they burn and they spoil everything. And then Jacob, who just had a great experience,
You tell him, you say, you make my name to stink.
All that bacchanal and scandal and come out of her.
Children of God who just had a great experience at Peniel. Wrestled with angel and all kind of different things. A few meetings ago, such great power and blessing the Holy Ghost. And come down to such moral degradation.
You say, how God might cause that? Because people fail to walk on in God's word. Amen. God don't forsake people. People is forsake God. People is back up on God.
Amen. He pitches tent.
Maybe it was the monotony and the confinement of the type of life they used to live. You know, some Christians, they, after a while, they say, I can't take this life on the service and service and service and service and God. And my mother talking about God, my father talking about God. I'm going to try to preach, I'm preaching hard and, you know, back and forth. And in school, I can't go and have a little sports with my friends and I can't do this. And they find their life is a monotony. So what normally happens? You find rebellion begin to come toward the parents. And sometimes the parents get in a situation now, the children are of a certain age, they go in the boy room and they find little love letters from a girl they don't know who's not in the church. They find some lipstick in the girl purse. You know what I'm saying? Or some money that some boy may be giving her that the parents are giving that kind of allowance. And it kind of scared them, so they don't know what to do. They could lose their child. So they kind of compromise, but if they don't have faith in God, they could back up. And this girl was the only girl out of 12 boys. But Benjamin wasn't born yet. Jacob 11. 11 boys and her. The only girl. I know some of you are only girl in a family. It can cause a lot of things. She come like a little princess. She can kind of get spoiled. She come like, she, you know, yeah, everybody else rough in the house, come and drink, kick off their shoes here, leave their clothes here, you know. And the little girl, you know, she gets all the little attention. She's like a little princess. They got many sons, but only one little daughter. Somebody could come push around and say, Daddy, and Daddy this, and Daddy that. And, you know, I did a little bit with my little son right home. That's my only little girl I have, so I kind of have she little special. Now watch. So you're finding that maybe she kind of got a little spoiled and complacent. And she kind of takes things for granted. Because you children, you know, especially this age, you give them a little rope, you know. Oh boy, they feel they can take you and twist you like that and bend you. Yeah. You're smart. They're going to twist mommy and daddy along the thumb like that. Especially, they know they're going to put a pressure on them, especially if they know that they have a kind of fear for them, you know. Well, I'm going to start screaming. I'm going to come like a spider. I won't do this, man. I said, all right. And they kind of give in. Maybe it might be the children but put a little pressure on Jacob. We just going to enjoy himself. You know, Dan was saying, I home by myself, all these boys, I can't relate to half of them. And, you know, because, you know, she was the youngest out of all. She was only older than Joseph. See? So she was there and she wanted to go out. The life. I growing up here to be, you know, like in the house like a real old lady, and mommy, only don't live my life for me, only don't live my life for me too, and the pressure.
And then maybe Leah had to tell Jacob, well, Jacob, look, you know, we have to, we can't afford to, you know, mother says, sometimes they don't have a revelation. And she had to put pressure on Jacob and saying, honey, you know, I mean, after all, the guilt is getting big, you know, and, you know, she, you give her her own room and different things, but, you know, it's more than that, you know. I mean, she must have friends her age to go around and converse with. Because after all, you know, I and her, you know, it's only so much we can talk at home. And then, you know, we have no television. You're against the TV in the house, and you're against this, and they can't listen to their little music self. And so what you going to do? Put a little pressure on him, you see. So then maybe kind of think, well, all right, I'll put my tent here for a little bit. Kind of watch it, you know, kind of. You're going out in the flesh, away from the Holy Spirit, but you don't want to go too far. So he said, well, I'll kind of pitch my tent and watch it a little while. The next verse says, and he bought a portion of the field where he spread his tent. He decided to get permanent. When he was called to be a pilgrim, he began to organize. He began to settle down. And look where he was settling down. Look where he was buying. Buying right on the edge of the wall. Because the first few months might look kind of good, you know. The girls look more happy. The girls look more happy and thinking the boys and them, you know. And she said, that Levi is really fit Levi good, eh? This one over here in a three-piece, and he kind of happy, never wear a three-piece yet. And this one over here, you know, maybe see a new wristwatch or some new jewelry, and it's not come in the house, but you know, they look happy, and what they have look harmful at that stage. Harmless, rather. Look well harmless. They're not making a fuss over it. She said, Jacob, you know how the children really happy now, you know? You know, instead of joy in their face, you know? The house be so dull, the children be so gloomy, but look at the children having a good time now, you know, everything looking so nice. And but the high vice is wickedness. Or maybe they wanted the children to be a little more better educated, you know. Jacob said, you know, the way commerce is these days, and this is like cattle, and now, you know, the banking system and this and that, you have things, you know, and, you know, I ain't how much learning and things. I kind of shrewd, and I can't rely on them things over. So maybe I'll kind of get the boys educated and get them in university, like a business administration course, and let this one, you know, kind of, you know, study accounts, and this one, you know, study something else, and make something of yourself, after all. So they settle down, and the children, maybe that kind of personal career, but they were getting into the world. They were getting into the world. And here was Jacob now. What God had given him as a promise for him and for his seed, he began to pay money for it and buy it. You can imagine that? The land was his as a promise. And he began to buy now what God promised him. You see people doing that in Israel? God promised them healing. They never have money, we call him Dr. Bill. Yes. No faith. Begin to buy what God promised them. God promised them, seek for the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Before they wait and let God add it to them while they seek for his kingdom, they decide to seek the kingdom, but they decide to buy this and buy this and buy this. So all the time, they have no time to pray and study God's word and be in God's presence and fulfill God's purpose that he put them there for. But the time now is to work to get money to buy what they want. He began to abandon the pilgrim spirit. He began to kind of, in other words, get a little more socialized. Nothing wrong with being a little social. After all, the light is the shining darkness, and they that are sick need the physician. Yeah, but you better have medicine with a physician. And you better see people getting healed if you're going among them. I mean, spiritually, you know. Not use it to say, well, you're going out there and you ain't really shining no light, you ain't really rebuking no sin, you ain't really making no stand, you ain't really testifying about God. So notice, Jacob pitched his tent. Then he bought a parcel of land. And it's like a lot of people living right on the edge of the world on the borderline, but far enough away to justify themselves being a Christian. And you come, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm the message, you know. I baptize, you know, I go to church. But they're living on the edge of the world. Close enough that when they want the little pleasure, they can run in and get it. See? Jacob begins to forget. And it's exactly what happened to people. While they're there, they don't see that those will backfire. They don't see that that's not what God called them to. You see, the pleasure of sin is only for a season. And Jacob didn't realize that he began to abandon the pilgrim spirit, the pilgrim attitude, when he began to settle down now and begin to buy what God promised him as an inheritance. Then the next thing he did, we find out, he built an altar and he called the name of the Lord. You know, as Christians, they don't have to do that. Go out in the world taking a chance. But they have to find something to identify as God for their own conscience sake. Boy, you know, the Lord had me to go in tongue today. I tell you, the Lord does know how to direct a person, yes, boy. You know, the good thing of passing Christian literature. Because after they get in all the worldliness now, they kind of passing Christian literature, they come in a little CLC bag or something, you know, to make it look a little religious. Jacob went and built an altar, trying to convince himself he did the right thing by buying the land. But really, he was trying to appease a guilty conscience, trying to remove condemnation. You know, you come in service next day, and you want to see a good special and talk about your love, God. You say, I'll go in service early tomorrow, instead of an hour earlier, and I'll go and pray for the hour to kind of make up for the sin yesterday. That don't work. That don't work at all. All our while now, Dinah, he under pressure, giving to his family, ain't taking his right place and giving leadership. Maybe giving to the mother influence, the children influence. The scripture said Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land. Strange way, you know the Bible, I just love the Bible, you know. You know, that is what caused everything. It is when she went out to sea. See, the daughters of the land, she went out to see the daughters of the land. I look up the word. It's a Hebrew word. It means to experience, to see. To see. She went out to see. To experience, to understand, to show oneself, to be seen, to reveal oneself, to gain understanding, to attend, to imitate. Strange, eh? And I'm going to think to myself, maybe she, as the only girl, you know, maybe it could be around her birthday, might get some nice little piece of jewelry or something, or some nice new dress, and maybe she wants to Where was the daughters of the land? Maybe it could be a fashion show. Maybe a tea party, you know. Some social program or something.
She wanted to be seen, to show herself, get an experience. Maybe to go and attend something. They also mean to attend, to imitate. Tired, sitting at home. Maybe she'd take Jacob's own chariot, ride up there herself. Like you see that there, a girl going to take up her father's car. Daddy, you can use the car? She want to use the new car to go out herself. Maybe she just learned to drive, so she have herself on display for her friends to see her. Image. And when she went out to see the daughters of the land, he said, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, wickedness, prince of the country, after his father, the chief, the most wicked one, is him, the prince. And he asked her, how come Jacob allow his daughter to go out to see the daughters of the land? He's a prophet. He had an experience with the angel of God. He's Abraham's seed. He has a Christian home. He just built an altar recently. Offer a big prayer to God. After his new name, El Elohim Israel. In the revelation of the hour. But the girl was coming too uncontrollable. Maybe she wanted she started to read them little books, you know. When she come from university in the evening, the same career, it's going to send you out to get you a little freedom. She began to want to be a liberated woman. My mother and them, I find the two under bondage. My mother only stay home and cooking and washing, wears her ironing clothes and sweeping out house. That ain't good enough for me. This is 1987. She wanted to be a liberated woman. She got too close to her worldly friends. She began to get into the crowd of celebrities. Just imagine the prime minister's son, the president's son, the mayor's son. Is who she associated with now. Could you imagine that? She was up in the social ladder. You can imagine when Monday morning in school, what's the conversation? She's driving this new one, this new RX-7 that Hamor import. And they were down at the club playing badminton. They spend the evening in the pool swimming. And they watch some videos afterwards. Look at the Bible, you know. It's in the Bible. She with the prince, the chief man's son, the chief wicked man's son. But you fail to realize it's up in that bracket is where all the morality and the sin was. To get into the richer class, to get into the better neighborhood. Among the richer class of friends, go to the posh restaurant to eat. Say, girl, I'm going to take you Holiday Inn weekend. And after, up at the country club, up in Mar Valley, say, we're having a special barbecue. So and so going to be there. This model going to be there. This one going to be there. And at midnight, they're having a wet t-shirt competition. I can imagine next morning in the talk of Shechem. You know that talk of Trinidad? In the state where called talk of Shechem on the People Weekly magazine. Look at she right there, dancing with Hamor on the floor. She maybe out at the country club or something, and she feel elevated inside when she see her name in the papers
in connection with celebrities, she feel a little better. It gives you a good image. Because she begin to look now and see a lot of the young girls in her school and in her neighborhood now trying to pattern after her. Because she's becoming popular. And you watch any woman get popular, it'll follow her whole trend. Everyone trying to comb their hair that way, trying to dress that way, trying to do this thing. She was having a good time, man. She's beginning to feel important. Maybe she loved driving around in all them sports cars and out of the horse racing with the president's son. You know when the president is going to open this certain derby. And she can be right there, you know, and get a chance to walk out and pull the horse. She like that, you know. Oh my, she wanted that kind of experience. She wanted the world. Because Jacob went and made the mistake and pitched his tent right to the edge of the wall. His separation from unbelief wasn't total. But God wanted a total separation. And while she was there, no doubt she might have kind of, you know, see all them eye red when they come back out of the room. And she know why they eye red. See them very high punch, you know, why they so. Until she started maybe to get a little introduced to herself. But maybe all year, she kind of holding back. She's a Christian still, you know. You know, and some of them are saying, oh, these, you have real experiences. I mean, you were from Haran. How is that country down there? What do young girls do, you know? Mine sheep. That's what you always do. You know. That's what I say. All from Barkpaw. I'm in the country. They kind of feel bad, you know, they say, well, then we move to the Philippines. Oh, my. See? You know, keep us in the image, you know? I really see this here, too. God forbid. Not what I'm talking about. That just seems so appropriate to use right there. That's all it was. So notice. So you know, she was enjoying that. You know, she tried to kind of, you know, well, you don't have to make them smutty jokes, you know, at times, you know, maybe, you know, Haman like to tell all the smutty jokes. Immoral, you know. How you try, you work in the office, you know, office boys, they want to kind of move around, touch this girl, touch that girl, they can't talk without touching. And, you know, this one, we want to go to them, even on the Christian and they say before they go to them, Christian, okay, they're telling them things, you know. They keep 50 feet from you. See? But you see, people have that big spirit. They just overpower you if your mind kind of weak. You know, like, you wouldn't get a plague. What happened to you, you know? This is our custom, you know. But is the devil trying to mar your testimony? Maybe she had them young girls around him and them, the lewdness. Do they care about themselves? See them, you know, high on drugs, watching the blue flames and so on, perverting their minds. Reading all the teen confessions and teen and sowing themselves down with Caesar lust. Maybe she being to bring them a few too and hide it under the mattress somewhere. Or under the clothes inside the wardrobe somewhere. Or take our next big book and have this small book inside the big book. Curiosity kill the cat, you know. She saw it. She was right there. She saw that no respect for the girls and them there. All those other pleasure seekers who wanted to feel important too. But Haman, the Bible says, when she went out to see the daughter of the land, she came the son of Haman, the Hivite, prince of the country, so and took her and lay with her and defiled her. I want to do that a little bit right here. He took her, delivered her, and defiled her. She went over to see the daughter of Zidane. She had no right to be there in the first place. You want to invite you? We invited a barbecue. Well, you can bring along just music if you want. We'll play it. Oh, I have a few Jim Reeves. We can play it when you come. And while she went out there, maybe she didn't want to take no strong drinks, trying to have a little standstill, you know. She'll take a little wine won't hurt. You know, after all, Jesus drink wine. And Paul tells Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. And this wine, it was 0.5% alcoholic. You know, it's not to get drunk or nothing. So we all have a pleasure. Go to church, that's all. That's all you can find pleasure in. And she still wouldn't disassociate herself. You know, some people are going to play, get embarrassed. See, they can't fit in. But they so detest being home. And they're so bored, like, you know, the devil kind of killed the effect of what they're in. They're going to church. All that get bored. So they rather cling with the worldly crowd still. And while she was there, maybe taking a little Pepsi. She said, I'll get a Pepsi for you now. She didn't see when he drugged she. How much young girls did he? They didn't intend to do nothing. They thought, well, you know, it's not the Pepsi, it's the company you keep in. They want to associate the wrong company, but they're trying to have the little altar. Well, I ain't taking a strong drink. I'm a school friend. I can't talk to a school friend. And she never knew that Shechem, all them girls there, every one of them, how much of them he had defiled the same way. She was just the fresh new one. See? Being used. The web was being spun for her. But the Bible says, his soul clung to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spoke kindly unto the damsel. I want to bring back what I was preaching Sunday. Before a woman can do anything, she had to get pregnant in her mind first. This womb here, now I'm speaking to brothers and sisters, because her womb get polluted. She was defiled. In other words, she was polluted. And many things could pollute you by you living on the edge of the world. You could get your thinking polluted. You can get your spirit polluted. Whether it's a man or a woman. By living on the edge of the world. Defile Dinah. His soul cleave unto Dinah. The word soul in the Hebrew is a word called nephesh. They say it's what possesses the appetite or even sexual drive. It means desire or will, when the object or the soul craves for maybe a person. You see, a person's soul could crave for God. My soul and your heart panted after the... So my soul panted after thee. But his soul wasn't panting after the living God. His soul was panting after Dinah. And he began to talk kindly unto her. And he loved her. And that love in the scripture there is speaking of illicit eroticism, sexual love, speaking kindly unto her. It was another case of the serpent and Eve again. She walked right into the web. She went to see the daughters of the land, and right there, Shechem, he saw her. Tender, young, pure, untutored, And with his filthy, lustful eyes, he began to desire her. He began to turn on his charm, his flattery. Began to kind of butter she up, you know. Maybe he was the master of ceremonies in the fashion show. Maybe kind of put you in a situation or called she out while he was there. You know. Ask for a special round of applause. Make her ego inflated. You know? Ask the photographer, take out a special picture which is going to appear in the Sunday edition. Ask a journalist friend to give a write-up. Oh, she's been flattered. She's been flattered. Some women just go in the world and get just carried away. Some churches, which is a type of a woman too, they just get carried away under any little bright, shiny thing that could dazzle them or excite them for the moment. Yeah. And she grew up in a family where she was taught the virtuous things of God. She grew up in an environment where she had example. She grew up under the influence of a godly father. But she wanted her own way. She began to get uncontrollable. Nobody could talk to her no more. On one hand, was rank, wealth, and unbridled lust, as the Bible says. And on the other hand, was beauty, weakness, and flirting with the world. Her family name was brought to such a ill repute that Jacob says, "You make my name to stink." He said, "You make my name to stink in the land among all these Canaanites and Hivites, among the unbelievers." The biggest scandal come out of the family of God. Notice that? Jacob heard. How Jacob heard? That news spread really fast. Maybe somebody had come in and searched. Maybe the young girls sat and laughed. She can really say he will do it. See? She can always get what he wants. She never saw. She was so craving world. She was so designed to live close to the world. She never saw the danger of living close to the world. The Bible says shun the very appearance of evil. Brother Bram told a story one time about this man. He was traveling to go to a certain destination and go along the mountains, rare great cliffs and precipices to get where he's going. As he came to the bottom, he met these two drivers. And one says, "Well, I'll take you there for $15. He says, "I'll get you there about in half an hour time." Other one says, "I'll take you for 10, I'll get there in 15 minutes. He said, "Because I knew every corner of that precipice, of that road. I knew like the back of my hand. I could take you right around the edge. I knew it so good. They could take you close to the edge and you still see if you can't fall over." He said, the man started to listen to both of them. Then he said, "I think I'll go to the next man here who will take half hour and stay closer to the safe side." He said, a lot of people like that. They want to go close to where the danger is. Close to where the excitement is. They want to live close on that side. He said, but sin is like jumping cactus. You get too close to it, it'll jump on you. See, a man ought to run from sin like you see a motor car coming at you 95 miles per hour in the road. But it seems that here she was. And all that time, you think she was thinking about the father name? You think she was thinking about the family reputation? You think she was thinking about the father testimony? You think she was thinking about all the influence and when she fretted like a spoiled child, when the father should have really clamped down upon her and she wanted her own way and all his worldly friends? You think it could have been undone now? Couldn't be undone. the scandal was so incensed, it exploded their feud. The boys and them were so full of revenge, the two brothers, for they come out of the same womb as Leah's sons, the first two. And they were so filled with revenge that she decided, well, look, we can't play along with them. When the boys had an influence, his daddy says, you know, kind of go there and get things, you know, kind of pull some strings. The influential man, pull some strings. You know, offer them certain things, give them certain propositions. Pressure. Because the devil wasn't just satisfied, no. He wanted to integrate, to hybrid that whole lineage. To corrupt and pollute that whole lineage. It was Satan trying to move in there. And many times the person is in the assembly. You know, and did a thing, well, they just one individual and they want this and they want this and they want to do the other. Sometimes you try to preach them and talk to them, but they want to live so close to the world. They want to feel that they know the way wrong. And they would not be influenced, but they're strong and they could make stands and they could do certain things. But let me tell you what the word of God says. The word of God says the most easily deceived is a woman or a church. And you know why? Because she was not in the original creation. Don't try to live like it was in the original creation. It's a byproduct. And first begin, a woman have sacred virtues that she must hold sacred. But look at Jacob. What was Jacob doing? Look what his daughter had went on and become. Look how she got involved in that company. Look what Jacob now was coming to a big compromise with the family to integrate the two people together. Maybe you are so confused that you isn't allowing it. But Abraham had tell Eliezer, put your hand on my thigh and swear. You won't take no daughters for my son from among these Canaanites and these people here. Many times people come like that. Great nice service, great nice time, great nice blessing, great experience with God, so elevated. Make a pledge to God, but they forget where they're really heading. And allow circumstances to come and dictate to them, and they come and pitch a tent right to the edge of the world and live close to the world. And fail to see the dangers, the shark-infested waters. Fail to see the evil spirits that's looking there. Get close to company and friends and fail to realize that birds of a feather flock together. And be not unequally yoked. Light have no communion with darkness. Amen. Bible says, see that you walk not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's turn quickly to 1 Thessalonians 4. I want to just take a scripture. The time is up. Every one of us know that 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18 is speaking about the rapture. But right here in 1 Thessalonians 4, from verse 1 to 12, is speaking about our walk. And I was thinking how Enoch walked with God and had a testimony, pleased God, before he was translated. And look how the Holy Spirit put the walk of the believer right before the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. So you'll abound more and more, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you shall abstain from fornication, and every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of sensuality, even as the Gentiles who know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto unholiness. Unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who had also given us his Holy Spirit. Paul said, reject that word, actually despising God and his spirit, I would to you. But as such a burning love, you have no need I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. As indeed you do it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet. Isn't that good advice? Don't be a busybody, to be running here, brawling, scandalous. No, study to be quiet. And do your own business. MYOB. All the school children know that. And to work with your own hands. Do it the bread of idleness. And don't let your feet be swift around here and there. But who can find a virtuous one? Stay home, learn to sew something, work with your hands. Learn to cook and bake, learn to iron or something. Amen. Get into, don't be lazy in the house, only spending all your time in front of the mirror and all the time. And then suddenly you have no real Christian virtue. You're not working on. Remember your flesh is only about 34 cents? The value now, you know. That you walk honestly toward them that are without and that you have lack of nothing. Then he goes to the rapture. So look at the walk before the rapture. And Enoch, if Hebrews 11:5, let's give the scripture, Genesis 5, verse 22 and 24, it says, Enoch walked with God and he was not. Paul said he had a testimony that he pleased God before he was translated. And here before the translation in 1 Thessalonians 4, look at the walk of the believer. Look at the walk that we are being called to tonight. Not to live at the edge of the world, not to live on the borderline, not trying to see how close to the world we can get, but to be totally separated, to have anointed eyes, to look beyond the glamour and the prosperity and all the shine of the world, and see the evil influence of the serpent behind it. Amen. To have a holy man taste. He doesn't love the world, let him the world haven't got the love of the Father in his heart. Let me put another quotation here. I've got about 2 more minutes. Power Transformation, page 38. He says, people have lost their thoughts of common decency among one another. They are not like they used to be. Man of age, of brothers and I, here and no, and women. People don't act like they used to be. They lost their common understanding. Their mental effect it's had upon the people of the modern scientific day that they are living in has caused people to lose their natural reasons. They can't regard somebody or woman as a sister and a brother. It's something filthy. As soon as a woman here dressed themselves so immoral together amongst people. He said, okay, a brother and a sister get together by themselves. They can't even, he said, the hybrid age and their minds are corrupted and perverted in this age. And every time a woman is shown in some picture, they use a woman's body to advertise a watch, advertise a motor car, advertise she drinks a naked woman every time you open the papers. What have a naked woman to do with a new car? Or a bottle of Pepsi? Or a wristwatch? You see, but everything is based on loss, you see? And they make a woman so low and dirty and vulgar and immoral that every time a man think of a woman and a moment with her, the first thing he think about is about sex. And the prophet says, he says, they don't regard a woman no more as a sister. A person no longer can have a simple conversation in the word of God to edify, to encourage, nothing at all. Long ago, men would stand up and guard the honor of a woman. Brothers would have respect. See? Would recognize that girl come from her home. She's a decent girl. Her parents, you know, how they highly regard the girl. You know, she's such a faithful and loyal girl and so on. She's not no plaything. See? She doesn't have to pull out and try to throw some smutty jokes and play around. No! He said, because man, the mental deficiency in the generation. If Simeon and Levi had corrected his sister, or one of them had gone out with her as they should have, amen, they would have helped, in keeping the family reputation. See? Two wrongs can make a right. To go out and kill all these other people afterwards, that didn't right the situation. Because she went out there to see, to get some experience. She went out there and get involved in that kind of company. She went out there because they put pressure on their father to kind of pitch a tent right there and influence him to buy the piece of land and settle down so they can live right close to the world. In Song of Solomon, verse 8 and chapter 8 and verse 8 and 9, in a little parable, here there's a scripture I had written down, where brothers guard the honor of the sister. We have a little sister and she had no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken of? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. See that? Brothers that would stand up and guard the sister honor. They said, what will be our situation as brothers? When the time comes, our sister is to be spoken for in marriage, and then she is defiled? She was defiled because she went out there to have that kind of a relation before she was married. Don't you know that Dinah would have to come and confess that to some man she's going to get married to afterwards? Don't you realize that a woman has to confess everything to a man before they get married to him? Think of it. Where's the kind of brothers that instead of trying to exploit some situation would have real godly respect? Will guard the honor of the sister. Would know that one of these days she could be some man's wife, some man's sweetheart. When the time comes that she is to be spoken for, that there wouldn't be hand over some polluted thing to some man trying to, some situation or the other. But she'd be there because she's guarded with real godly influence. You see, but in this age, everything has come so low and carnal. And maybe the message like it was more to the sisters tonight, but let me say for you brothers. Your womb, the womb of your spirit, the mind is the womb of the spirit. How many people are defiled in the thinking? How many people can be subject to the word? How many people can line up with the word today? How many people can get the Holy Ghost because they're already pregnant with some other life of self-will? Because they live so close to the world. Living close to the world brings defilement. It brings hybridization. Look at Dinah. Such a girl, protected all her life and grew up, and then go out there and lost all her virtue. What you as a Christian, as a bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is to be presented unto him as a church without spot or without wrinkle. As a glorious church. As a church that God has put brothers here, the five women that are to guard and protect the honor of the bride. To keep her virtuous. To keep her undefiled, unspotted from the world. Yet people, they want to walk away from that kind of protection and live close to the world because of their own fleshly appetite. For more, a better social life. To get along with friends, have a little fun or something, a little good time. Is that what you want? Let me tell you, in this hour, that he is not coming for that. He's coming for a church without spot, without wrinkle, undefiled, unblemished, unpolluted. Whatever seed she receives, she received it after the two have become one. After she has taken that vow. After she has been virtuous and the bedding ground is only for the seed of her husband. Otherwise she'll be stoned for adultery. All man's efforts of trying to bring some honor to the situation or express the revengefulness is only to make the name of their father stink more. It's only to ruin the reputation, the influence. I can imagine you as quick to pick up his sticks in that tent and flee out of that place so fast and go and live in an environment where nobody knew them. The dangers of living too close to the world. You're a Christian, don't try to live too close to the world. God is calling to a separated life. He's calling to a joy that the world can't even give you. Satan have nothing in comparison to offer you with what God is going to offer you. Look at this civilization. After 6,000 years, hospitals, graves, sin, wars, bombs, everything is a creation of death. Satan's eaten when man is being glorified. Oh, they put a man on the moon and they beat the chest so much as advancement science. What they bring back? 2-3 old rocks and stone that they put inside there. It never fills somebody's belly, it never gets some signal, nothing at all. How much money is that? Billions of dollars to do it. All for the tree and knowledge of good and evil. Nothing. But God promised a civilization. A city is make and build is God. Amen. I eat and I restore Eden. And may God tonight give you a pilgrim spirit like Abraham. You call out to the world, you have no desire to go back into the country or even live close to it. But you're looking for that city whose make and build is God. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's sing this little song. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, for the glory He sheds in our way, while we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Would you trust Him tonight? I noticed that last week, at this service, now I want all them people that are walking back, or come back in the seat and sit down for Him, please. I sat down there and worked last week. From a time, we just stand their feet. People are just going everywhere. Now, when the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the service like that, and it comes to the end of the service where prayer is going to be offered for you, many needy, many in a condition, that's time to wait right there. You have sat, you have heard the word. God has spoken to you. Whatever the Holy Spirit want to do in your heart now, give it a chance. Whether you're in a situation where you need the Lord, or where He can come and do something for you and bring healing to your life, your spiritual life, to your soul, to bring deliverance. That's the time that we walk all here. And make that some of the people who get up and walk there, the people who need God the most, they need to be even at the altar after the message preach. They should be walking forward. You're not walking back so, or walking outside here. It's forward they should be walking. This service is for the young people. And they're the first one when they get up and run somewhere and go somewhere. See? Let's learn to respect God's presence. Let's learn to be settled and contented in God's presence. Where we come believing that God could deal with us, we can leave strengthened. When we leave them doors, we can leave with a greater purpose in our heart to serve God. Greater determination. Amen. Don't feel bad. Just enter His presence and let's sing this little song and worship unto Him. He has spoken to our hearts. Defiled diner? Are you being defiled? Are you flirting with the world? Are you trying to live close to the world? Is that where you want to go? Are you unhappy in the house of God? Are you looking for joy and happiness outside? Could they give it to you? You want to go there and get defiled and then come back and try to find a place inside of here? You want to go out there? All you're going to get out there is polluted. All you're going to get out there is used. The devil's going to watch you through them lustful eyes and spin a web to trap you. Snuff out the little life that you have inside you. That ain't for you, children. Amen. God has a place here for you. Amen. Amen. All of your heart desire, He's God. He's the Creator. He can give it unto you. Amen. You don't have to have no counterfeit. You don't have to have no make-believe. You don't have to have some man could try to do. You think some old drug addict could pick up a guitar and sing a song to bless your soul? Some man who's thinking, I ain't got no satisfaction, trying to satisfy you. And his confession, you have no satisfaction. Some man, what the world needs now is love, and the Holy Spirit, the love of God, have come down among us. And they out there don't know what they're looking for. And right here, God is standing here among His own people. Don't get carried away in all that unbelief. Know that God is real. Have some attitude, some spirit inside of there plaguing you and fighting you, tormenting your soul, pushing towards the world. You don't want that. He can touch you and can leave it like that. He's like, cast them devils with my finger. Amen. Have faith and believe in tonight. But it can only come through obedience. Obedience to His word. If you would trust, if you would obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus tonight. But I promise you, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory tonight. When we walk.
When we walk with.
Oh, think about it. In the light of His word. Would you walk tonight? Oh, what a glory He sheds.
Glory He sheds on our way.
While we do His good will.
While we do
He abides with us still.
He abides with us still.
And with all who will trust and obey.
Who will trust and obey.
Oh, sing it now. Trust and obey.
Trust and obey. Lord, yes, no other way to be happy, Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Not a shadow can rise. Oh, not a cloud in the sky.
Cloud in the sky.
But his smile quickly dies away.
Quickly drives it away.
Not a doubt or fear.
Not a doubt or
not a sign or a tear.
Not a sign or a tear.
Can abide while we trust and obey. Oh, let you trust him tonight. Trust and obey.
Trust and obey. God, yes, no other way to be happy, Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Not a burden we bear.
Not a burden.
Oh, not a sorrow we share.
Not a sorrow we share.
But our toil he doth richly repay.
He doth richly repay.
Oh, not a grief nor a loss.
Not a grief nor a loss.
Not a wrong or a cross.
The promise.
Oh, but it's blessed if we trust and obey.
Blessed if we trust and obey.
Everyone singing out.
Trust and obey.
Oh, for there's no other way, children. Oh, believe with all your heart tonight.
To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Oh, but we never can prove. Just think about it.
But we never can.
The delights of his love.
The delights of.
Until all on the altar we lay a real burnt offering. Your head, lay down your head, your feet tonight. Lay down your inwards, your part. Amen. For the favor he shows.
For the favor he shows.
And the joy he bestows.
For them.
Oh,
well, trust.
Oh, let's lift our hands. Let's sing it. Let's be determined in our hearts. We'll trust and we'll obey every word.
Trust and obey.
Oh, there's no other way tonight. Won't you draw closer to him? Oh, just be happy in Jesus. It won't come no other way. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh, but then in fellowship, sweet. Like Mary, she chose that one that was needful to sit at his feet. We will sit. Oh, we'll walk by his side in the way. Oh, what an opportunity. Don't bypass tonight. Amen. What he says, we will do. No rebellious children. Children of obedience. Where he sends, we will go. Prisoners. Never fear, only trust and obey. Every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone singing from the heart. Trust and obey. Softly, as you remain standing with your head bowed, your eye closed, thinking about the fire dying tonight, who tried to live at the edge of the world, never saw the dangers of living there. She paid dearly for it. How are you living tonight, children? Does the world entice you? Does the world seem attractive to you? Remember, he that loved the world or the things of the world haven't got the love of their Father in his heart. And the love of God is not in your heart. He said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Then you will not be able to keep his word. What you love, you're the one to cleave to. You're the one to be close to. You're the one to be in the presence of. And if you have the love for the world, that is where you would find enjoyment. That is where you would be happy. It would always be a monotony to be around the word of God. But the world is a place that breeds death. It came because of death. It was the product of eating from the tree of death. But if we obey his word, there's a better world coming. One where you won't have to die. One where there's eternal joy. There's no heartaches there. There's no pain there, no suffering there. We'll have one hospital. We'll have one graveyard. We'll have one war. We'll have one frustrated feeling. We'll have one lustful spirit. We'll have one temptation. All is peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore, this world is falling apart. Has never been so evil as it is today. God is fixing to destroy it. His wrath has already been revealed from heaven. Don't be defiled. Shun the appearance of evil. Keep your distance from the world. Don't try to live too close. Don't be robbed of your virtue that you receive from the word. Don't be polluted in your mind. Don't be influenced by the serpents of the world, the pleasures and the vanity of the world. Like Bible says, Moses choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sinful season. He took the way with the Lord despised few. But only come by obedience. Full obedience to the whole word entitles you to the token tonight, the Holy Spirit. That fullness, that which God has promised, that satisfying portion. Yes, you was made to thirst, but not after the world. You made to thirst after God. It's Satan trying to pervert that thirst, trying to hybrid your spirit, trying to pregnate your mind. Don't listen to him. Cast down reasons and imaginations. Pull down all his strongholds. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The promise is at hand. It's a great testing time now. Many are failing. But you put on the whole arm of God. And above all, take the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Faith only feeds on the word. Faith looks beyond the glamour and the prosperity of the world until the judgment of God hanging over it. Faith looks to the unseen. We walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. In your heart tonight, won't you ask Him to draw you nearer? Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. I don't want to be close to the world. Draw me nearer to Your precious bleeding side. There are depths of love, there are heights of joy. There is so much that God has in store for us. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered the hearts of men what God has in store for them that love Him. Think about it tonight. I'm going to pray for you and dismiss this service. In your heart, you see that you can get closer to God. You're too close to the world. Then you draw nearer to Him tonight. He said, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil and he shall flee from thee. Heavenly Father, Your word has been spoken tonight. We see the dangers of living close to the world, of not making a real total separation from all unbelief, of what happens when we lose the vision of our objective, when You would come down and bless us in a great meeting, a great time of blessing, and we drop back down to the low level of life and deviate from our original purpose, from the word of God. As we see right away, You call them back to Bethel and You told Jacob, take off all of Aaron's, take off all of them and bury it and put away all our sin. Oh God, You call them to a consecration. They allow the world to get too close to them. Father, I pray tonight that this message I've been delivered to tonight, gathered here in the hearing of His voice, hearing these words tonight, Lord, would examine themselves, would take inventory of their lives, would weigh themselves in the balance of Your word, in Your presence, would take their spirit to the filter of Your word, and allow that word to filter out every worldly thing. And Lord, they will draw closer to You. Closer to that fountain that is filled with blood. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Oh, what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes us white as snow. No other fountain we know. Nothing but the blood is the only thing that covers sin tonight. Fashion of this world cannot cover it. Clothes cannot cover it. Oh God, but may we plead the blood of Jesus Christ. May we dress in the clothes of the word. Hallelujah. God, I pray tonight, Father, this word would cause them to come under conviction. Tear their hearts, as it were. And get down before You in deepest sincerity and crave and desire more of Your Holy Spirit. If you see the world want to become attractive or don't be lured and enticed and drawn away after these things, Lord, for we know that a lust when it conceives bring forth sin, and sin bring forth death, and death is eternal separation from Your presence, Lord. Oh God, if You kill that thing, stop it dead in the tracks. When it comes a thought, I'll bring that thought into captivity And don't let our minds be pregnant in the womb of our spirit, Lord, in subjection to these things. But rather, Lord, we stay shut in your presence, shut in behind that veil, contented to live there. Oh God, as the song to my tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt land. You won't see me there no more. I live in another land. Oh God, may we desire to live in that heavenly country. May we have no desire to go back to that country once we came. Oh God, may you grant it, Lord. May we not find ourselves trying to buy what you promise. May we not be that faithless, Lord, but may we wait upon you, knowing you will bring to pass every promise you have spoken. When we are pressured and we are placed to compromise, oh God, may we stand true to your word regardless, oh God, we have to separate from the best of friends. May we have the backbone to make that kind of separation, but to stay true to the word of God. Oh Father, may you grant it, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help your children here tonight. May these words fall into their hearts and strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen them. Your promise is such an age of temptation we're living in. May there be respect and whole decency among young men and young women. The young men, Lord, regard their sisters with respect as sisters. Lord, regard the honor of them as sisters, Lord. Rather to be influenced by the devil to try to exploit them, oh God. But there can be such a spirit of brotherly love, holy decency in the house of God, among the children of God. The Lord God of our lives could shine forth so bright in this hour, bring forth fruit in which you'll be glorified. Not corrupt fruit, but fruit that you'll be glorified in, Father. I pray they would take earnest heed to the things that they have heard, and they wouldn't let it slip, Lord. They would mix it with faith. They would take the warning and the admonition, the instruction tonight in righteousness. And they would know to possess their vessel in sanctification and honor. And they would walk worthy of the gospel, knowing that their life they will not live for Christ every day, not worthy of this gospel. But Lord, they would become real prisoners. And they would trust and they would obey, knowing there is no other way to be happy in Jesus tonight. Give them that joy that you told them you will give them, that the world cannot give them. Give it to them, Father. Let that joy be the strength. And with that strength, Lord, they will be able to overcome this world. They will not lust after the world or the things that are in the world, but they will have victory. And they will come forth and live unblemished, undefiled lives, the tongue of God and shake the devil. Lives, Lord, that will be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, that creates a thirst in the hearts of others. That they will know that you are still the same yesterday and forever. You are still alive. May we be touched with that, Lord, to know we are called to reflect you, to display your life to the world. Not just to walk in the Bible or wear a long dress, but to show others Jesus Christ living in us, walking in us. Paul said, know you not, you are the temple of the living God? Hallelujah. I will dwell in them and walk in them, saith the Almighty. I'll be their God and shall my people. Oh God, let us be that, Lord. Let us be that tonight. Hallelujah. Put a desire in our hearts. We yearn unto cry for you, Lord. For it's a promise. You promise that new world. That full satisfaction, that full satisfying portion. Oh, we desire that. Take us to our homes as we go. Watch over us and protect us as we travel along the road. And may bring us back another time. You come to be steadfast in the faith, knowing you will not fail, but you will give unto us all you promise. We thank you for your word tonight and for all you have done in our midst. May you come to have your way amongst us. And we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. You may have a seat. Yes.